Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks for being with us. A fine Monday. Breaking down everything about the NFL's third Sunday of the season. Boy, we have already covered a lot of ground, and we'll continue to do so. Bill Belichick being bratty to Dana Jacobson yesterday. Aaron Rodgers with a subtle shot at his former head coach. And Pete Carroll breaks his nose wide open before the Saints do exactly that to the Seahawks as well. All that coming up this hour on the show. As always, we want to hear from you guys. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. I will happily admit that I was one of those that thought Daniel Jones was a mistaken pick by the Giants that early. I thought that Jones's extremely underwhelming collegiate career was not worthy of the number six pick overall, and that nobody else in the draft valued Daniel Jones the way that the Giants did. So how could it possibly make sense to draft this kid in the top 10? It was not that I thought the Giants should not draft a quarterback, or even that Daniel Jones was the wrong pick overall. Remember last year, I thought the Giants made a mistake in drafting Saquon Barkley instead of Sam Darnold, number two overall. I'm well aware that Eli Manning has been an absolute nightmare for that team for a long time. That's difficult to say for a lot of Giants fans and NFL observers. Eli Manning is a class act. Eli Manning has handled the dysfunction of the Giants organization better than the organization deserved. Eli Manning has never questioned management, never questioned ownership, never questioned multiple GMs that seem to consistently miss on building a winner. He had complaints. He could have had complaints about Jerry Reese. He could have had plenty of complaints about Dave Gettleman. He could have had complaints about Bob McAdoo, Ben McAdoo, Dave McAdoo, every McAdoo. He could have complaints about Shermer. He could have complaints about Mara and Tisch. He could have complaints about everything. He has almost always, 99.9% of the time in his New York career, taken the high road, said the right thing, and never pointed fingers. And that's what makes this reality hard. He has stunk. And because he is such a class act, and because, in no small part, he led the Giants to two Super Bowl championships, it has been very difficult for people to see the reality of Eli Manning from up close. When you're up close, it's hard. He's a class act. He says the right things. He's always healthy. And he won two Super Bowls. He's the one constant. But up close, if you can detach yourself from that, Eli's been bad. The last 5 years of Giants football has gone 6-10, 6-10, 11-5, 3-13, 5-11, and this year 0-2 with Eli Manning. That's 5 years with only one good season, and that was the boat year where Odell Beckham and the whole crew were on the boat before that Packers playoff game. It's been half a decade of wretchedness from Eli Manning and the wins and losses. And that's got to fall on the starting quarterback at some point in time. I, though, thought that the Giants had highly overvalued Daniel Jones at number six and that it made no sense to take him there. It made sense to take somebody else there and trade down to get Jones where you can get him, or take somebody else there and trade up into the first round or somewhere else to grab Jones because nobody else is going to take him that high. At the end of the day, I was wrong. If this is the guy, why get cute and worry about not getting your guy? And clearly the Giants felt like this was their guy. And Jones looked very good in the preseason, and he looked good enough behind the scenes that the Giants were confident he was ready by week three to change the channel on Eli Manning. And yesterday, he paid all types of dividends for those in the organization that had faith in drafting him that high.
Jones is going to run it on a fake handoff. He's to the five. He's in. Touchdown, Giants. Daniel Jones.
Damn, Daniel.
Fakes a handoff to Gallman. Sets, delivers one right. He's got Ingram on the run. He steps out of a tackle across midfield to the 45. Down the left sideline to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 75 yards.
Damn, Daniel.
Jones calls out the signals. Gallman to his left. He takes the snap. He's back to throw. Fires one right into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown by Sterling Shepard. What a catch by Shepard.
Damn, Daniel.
Jones takes the snap. Back to throw. Steps up. He's going to run. Jones to the five. Touchdown, Giants. Daniel Jones on a 7-yard run on a 4th-and-5 from the 7. And the Giants have tied it up with 1:16 to go.
Damn, Daniel. Back at it again with the wide man.
Kick on its way. And it's no good. He missed it. Way missed the kick. And the Giants win their first game of the season.
So that was exciting. Exciting finish. And, awesome win.
Damn, Daniel.
Get it again with the white fans, Daniel.
Daniel
Jones, 4 touchdowns, 336, the game-winning scramble, and the Giants have the first win of the season, and really the first excitement they've had in a long time within that organization. That's been a long time of irrelevant football. And finally, feeling the good, feeling the flow, damn Daniel dance. Back at it again with the white fans.
Damn, Daniel.
That was Bob Papa, voice of the Giants, on the call. Hey, I defer to Mraz here because Mraz wanted to put him into Canton after 2 weeks of the preseason. He was ready to put him into the Hall of Fame. We got into a huge fight on the show because Mraz said he was already the best player in his draft class after 2 preseason games. Mraz, this is your day to gloat. This is your day to feel happy. This is your day, big man, because you finally got your football season back.
This is great. It was great just to have a moment. And any fan base of any team knows what that's like, right? If you just go through just bad year after bad year, just to have a moment. Even if this year doesn't result in the playoffs, there's a moment. There's happiness. There's hope. And by the way, you killed me. Pete killed me. Bogus killed me in the preseason. Always going against guys who are delivering pizza. Guess what? He faced a top 10 defense yesterday. And everything I said in the preseason, you could tell it didn't matter who he was against. Ball placement, footwork, the ability to escape the pocket. He brought that all versus a real freaking good defense yesterday. And oh, by the way, down 28-10, a young kid could have overthought everything, threw a million picks trying to get his team back in the game, but he remained calm. The Giants hadn't come back from 18-plus down in a game to win in half to after halftime since 1949. The amount of poise in your first start, Jones looked like he'd been playing in the league for 8 years. That was phenomenal. This is great. And whatever happens the rest of the year happens, I'm sure he'll make a boatload of mistakes, but the Giants might have hit something here. And if they could roll over from Eli Manning to Daniel Jones, maybe it's not Favre to Rodgers, maybe it's not necessarily Peyton to Luck, but it starts to get in that clash because that's the way you have to feel today.
Well, there's no guarantee that Daniel Jones ends up being Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers, obviously, because the last rookie that had, what, two touchdowns, passing, two touchdowns, rushing, and 300 yards was Eric Hipple.
Eric Hipple, yes. So I understand, so not exactly
the
league class.
If Daniel Jones becomes Eric Hipple, that obviously is not exactly Favre to Rodgers. But what you saw yesterday was a Giants team that had life for the first time in a long time.
Total energy, smiles.
Absolutely. There was a different body language. There was a different juice. There was a different belief. And Eli Manning's kind of flat heartbeat and his never getting too high or too low was really valuable in two playoff runs. That was the DNA of those two playoff runs for the Giants. Great pass rush, great defense, but an offense where it felt like he did not feel any of the pressure, any of the expectations, any of the criticism, any of the moments, because he is just such a flat line. But being a flat line on a mediocre team doesn't help elevate the team. And I think the Giants organization had flatlined with Eli's energy. And yesterday, all of those guys in that huddle were taken aback because Daniel Jones, who doesn't curse, went into the huddle in the fourth quarter and said, "We're bleeping scoring a touchdown." And they're like, "Whoa." I don't know if Eli Manning has said that in the last 10 years in that huddle. My guess is he hasn't. And last night, yesterday, you just saw a Giants organization get new life, get rebirth. Because, yeah, they'll probably still go 5-11 this year. But every week is now interesting. Every week is a growth. Every week there's a reason to watch and a reason to play. Without that, the Giants are just dead men walking. I'm happily ready to say that I was wrong on Daniel Jones because I've always said this. The league is better with quarterbacks. It's so quarterback heavy. I hope every rookie quarterback becomes great. Everyone. I wish that every team had a great quarterback because if you don't, you're toast in this league. And I also love stories where everybody thinks that the guy sucks and he takes it and shoves it in everybody's face. I love that. So I don't mind at all being wrong on Daniel Jones. It's only 1 week, but that week yesterday was a complete turn the page for the organization. And I had to laugh at Eli Manning when Jones scrambles in for the potential game winner. Eli's got this half grin kind of smirk on his face, but he's not jumping up and down. And you just know in his mind, he's like, "Crap, I ain't ever getting this job back. That's it. That's it for me." And the team responded. Now, they needed a botched field goal at the end to win it. But yesterday, the win to me is less important than the way that Jones played for the Giants organization. Also, Bruce Arians saying after the game that he purposefully took a 5-yard delay game penalty because the field goal attempt was going to be too close. Too close? Is so beyond dumb. Either A, he's lying and they didn't intentionally do that, or B, he really is in retirement land. I know they had that win over the Panthers last week and that was a good win for them, but I've all along worried that Bruce Arians went to Tampa to retire in Florida. That this was just a really nice way to get a paycheck and live and fish in a condo on the beach. If he honestly thinks that kicking a field goal from 29 is, quote, too close, and he'd rather kick from 34, he's lost all credibility. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll jump into your phone calls coming up here next. We're talking a lot about Sunday's action, but also we got to talk about Saturday. Because what happened to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday cannot be forgotten. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Lucas. Little wet, little drippy, 24-7. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Groshek in the backfield. Four hands down for Michigan. They're stunting on the inside. Cohen in trouble. Avoids the defender. Now he's got room to run. Down the near seam. Diving for the end zone. Touchdown, Jack Cohen! Evades defenders in the backfield. Puts his head down and runs 25 yards to the left side for a Badger touchdown.
Things they did really well, we were unable to do in terms of establishing a running game, having the play action come off of that. They blocked better, they tackled better. They had a better plan and executed it extremely well today.
Oh, the Michigan Wolverines took one on the chin, got their fanny kicked all the way back to Ann Arbor, and now there's serious questions about Jim Harbaugh's reign at Michigan. Welcome back, DA, with you. And Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader. A full day of games, including the Bills defending their home turf against the Pats, followed by the Vikings and Bears in a key NFC North battle. It all begins with our team preview of the day's games on the NFL Today at noon Eastern. Only on CBS. Watch the show, won't you? Watch the DA show every single day at watchda.com. That's free, and it's streaming, and it's a simulcast. Anywhere you are, watch the show. Watch for our reactions to complete idiocy and mindless laughter at watchda.com. Dr. Chow, man. Dr. Chow. Booking it.
Period. End of discussion.
Jim Harbaugh is a real problem right now. It's a real problem because Army nearly went to Ann Arbor and won. They missed a field goal at the end of regulation that would have made Army a winner on the road in Ann Arbor at the Big House to stun a Michigan program that had designs and finally winning the Big Ten this year. They had a bye week after that. So Harbaugh had a chance to use that as a wake-up call to his troops. Hey, we nearly lost. Army nearly beat us. Army should have beaten us. We've got a bye week to get ready for Wisconsin. And we've got to bring the heavy artillery. That should have woken up everybody in that program. And then the bye, and then the trip to Camp Randall. And the problem is that the Michigan Wolverines looked like they had not practiced a day in their life going into Saturday's game. They were undisciplined. They were disorganized. They were unready. They were unprepared. It would be one thing if you could say, well, you know, Michigan doesn't have the athletes that Wisconsin does. Or, well, Michigan gave a great effort but fell short. But going into that game, they looked completely poorly organized and coached. Now, that's an enormous red flag on Harbaugh. Second part, on coaching. There is absolutely no identity to the Wolverines, especially on offense. Harbaugh wanted a pro-style offense, wanted a balanced attack, and then essentially out of desperation said, okay, we'll go spread. Josh Gattis, can you help us do that? All right, great. He didn't even meet Josh Gattis before hiring him as the offensive coordinator, simply did it over the phone. Didn't even meet him. And now we're 3 weeks into this season for the Wolverines. And are they a spread or are they not? Because the offense is a complete and utter nightmare. This was 35-0 at one point. 35-0. And there is a pathetic consistency around Harbaugh with Michigan. Big expectations, talk a big game, get a lot of attention, lose the important ones. Get pounded by your conference rivals. And it has happened against Michigan State. It has happened against Penn State. It has happened against Ohio State. And it's happened against Wisconsin. This is year five for Harbaugh. Year five. And they are tougher to watch than eating a steak at a truck stop. That is brutal. Absolutely brutal. And does Harbaugh have answers? Because part of me wonders if he's just now bored. Harbaugh authored an unbelievable turnaround at San Diego University. He authored a turnaround, unbelievably, at Stanford. He authored an unbelievable turnaround with the San Francisco 49ers, bringing them to a Super Bowl and the doorstep of another. And he goes to Michigan, and they can't beat Wisconsin? They can't beat Michigan State or Penn State? They can't beat Ohio State? They can't beat anybody? Good. What happened? He suddenly forgot how to coach? Or is he just bored? Does he bounce around so often that anytime he's anywhere long enough, he just loses the interest? Because you can't tell me that what we saw on Saturday from the Wolverines was a coach that is connected to the program. You can't. It was a mess. It was a complete and utter mess. And plenty of credit goes to Wisconsin, because they showed up and they balled out. They didn't even need Jonathan Taylor to do what they did. But for the Wolverines, what are you? What is you? What is you? But nothing but a baby. But baby. What is you? I mean, that was all types of embarrassing. Just all types of embarrassing for Michigan on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Vinny's next up. He's listening in Arizona. He's listening via Apple Music to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Vin?
Hey, how's it going, D.A.?
Good. What's going on?
Well, first and foremost, huge Saints fan. I'm glad to see that I was wrong about Teddy Bridgewater, at least this week.
Played really well yesterday. Really, really well. That team, that was one of the best wins they've had in a long time, from top to bottom, offense and defense.
Yeah, I honestly didn't even watch it because I didn't want to see us get handled. But we handle business, and I'm actually kind of sad I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you missed a good one.
But my question to you is, with how good Minshew's playing, do you think Nick Foles could potentially be the backup when he's cleared to play, if Minshew is still hot by that time? Or how do you think Jacksonville goes about that situation?
Well, it depends on where they stand. I mean, we're talking about now in November. If Gardner Minshew is throwing for 350 yards a game and three touchdowns, then it's going to be really hard to bench him, I agree. But I don't know if that's realistic. Is it possible he plays good enough, 200, 250 yards, and they're winning? And suddenly, you know, they're 7-3, and why would you take your foot off the gas then? Maybe that's possible. But we got a ways to go. I really like what Minshew has brought to the table, and I think that that's part of the equation when Foles is finally back, if they're winning games. But for now, really premature to say 2 months from now, the Eagles wouldn't want, or the Eagles, the Jaguars wouldn't want to go back to Nick Foles if he was healthy and ready to go. When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. Pete Carroll gets bumped in the nose. Aaron Rodgers takes a shot at Mike McCarthy. And Bill Belichick acts like a brat to Dana Jacobson. All of that is part of your best audio and sound check. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings Mothership.
How you doing, brother DA? I love listening to your show every morning, man. You know, you're the man of truth.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The man of truth. Doing more, brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Jacoby Brissett, the Colts QB, 28-37 for 3-10 and two touchdowns. Holding on to beat the Falcons 27-24. Brissett, big-time hot start. 16 completions to begin the day. Two touchdowns first half And Indianapolis is now 2-1, 7 straight wins at home. They won their home opener for the first time in 7 seasons. The DA Show's Best of clips also available on YouTube, so watch there, won't you? YouTube.com. Catch up on everything from the DA Show. Really good win by the Colts. Just another head-scratching, mind-numbing, blasé performance from the Falcons. Just when you think you can trust the Falcons, you can't. You can't. Just when they came off beating the Eagles in an exciting Sunday nighter last week, and they come back and they lose this way. Just a gutless team. The gutless Falcons. It's just not even the Atlanta Falcons. It's the gutless Falcons. Because they just have such a softness about them. They just, when you expect them to rise up, they get pushed around. They get bullied. They came off a thrilling win over Philadelphia and then watch Jacoby Brissett carve them up in the first half. And you just look around that roster and you go, almost any other coach would swap with the Atlanta Falcons roster in a heartbeat. They've got dynamic playmakers in their prime, athletes at every position. And they're just so gutless. Dan Quinn is such a problem. Such an issue. They don't get it from the quarterback, and they don't get it from the coach in terms of a toughness and a leadership, and it shows every Sunday. They're wildly talented. They can't put it together. But a good win by the Colts, good win by Jacoby Brissett, and that goes to show you why so many people around the NFL were high on Brissett coming into the season, even despite Andrew Luck's retirement. People really liked Jacoby Brissett, and he certainly proved yesterday that he can make throws, make plays, but that was really an all-around win by the Colts. And that's how, you know, you'd have to draw it up if you're Frank Reich, where it didn't take a huge game from Brissett. It took some important defensive stops and plays, but also salting away the win on the ground, having a lead, being able to extend the drive, not give the Falcons the ball back. Good win by the Colts. Good win. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with Pete Carroll. The Seahawks got pounded by the Saints yesterday, but before the game, Pete Carroll actually got hit in the face by a football, which caused him, if you watched the game yesterday, to have bandages on the bridge of his nose, all bloodied and swollen.
Well, it would have been a really good story, you know, that I headbutted Bobby in pregame, you know, getting fired up in the locker room, but I heard that they captured it on film, and I got smacked in the nose with a football. And last play of warm-ups, and I didn't see it coming.
See, that's a bad job by Pete Carroll, because he coaches defensive backs, and you're always teaching your DBs to have your head in a swivel, be aware, know where the ball is in flight, don't lose track of the ball, and that instincts also have to take over. And what Pete Carroll's there doing is not tracking the ball. How can you take his coaching seriously if he can't track the ball in his own vicinity as it is? Pete Carroll, bad ball skills. Letting the ball smash him in the face. You know, and how much can you trust a guy who allows balls to smash him in the face? You've got to be able to swat them away. If you've got balls coming to the bridge of your nose, swat them, smack them, get them out of there. You can't allow the balls to make contact, harsh contact, with your face. Bad ball skills. Terrible. And look, Those balls can do some damage. Those balls can open up a wound.
Yeah. I like a nice firm ball.
Those balls are nothing to joke about. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are 3-0, and apparently Aaron Rodgers feels as though there's perhaps a different vibe around the team these days.
All of us who've been here for a significant amount of time realize how different this feels. It's just a different energy. You know, it is palpable, it's contagious, it's charismatic, and it's fun. It really is. It's been a lot of fun.
Uh-oh. That's the first of many chances Aaron Rodgers takes to let everybody know he hated Mike McCarthy. You know, what can I say? It's a different energy around here. You know, people are happy. People are having fun. It's not a death march. We don't hate coming to work. We don't hate our boss. I'm not talking about Mike McCarthy, of course. I'm just saying we don't wish death upon our head coach. Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to. It's just there's something about coming to work now where I no longer lay in bed hitting the snooze button for 2 hours because I'm terrified of seeing my boss every single day. Did I said that out loud? I didn't mean. That's not exact. This has nothing to do with Mike McCarthy. It's fun. It's charismatic. It's energized.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's essentially saying I hated our last head coach by the end. This is cool. I like it. And I think Matt LaFleur's got something, and not because they're 3-0. I think LaFleur has a certain way about him where he has a confidence. He's put together well. He looks like he's in control without the overwhelming ego. And I think there's part of this that Mike McCarthy probably was always insecure because he looked like a box truck guy. He just didn't look the part of had it all together, under control, didn't look like an offensive whiz. You know, he looked like a fire hydrant. And so Mike McCarthy, I think, was always fighting the perception that he wasn't maybe all that smart or all that in control or all that great of a leader. And he was insecure about that and had to kind of overcompensate. I think LaFleur just seemed like a young guy, bright guy, smart guy, in control, but doesn't have the ego to have to force you to know how in control he is. And it seems like that's working for the Packers right now. And finally, the low moment of the NFL weekend was Bill Belichick being interviewed by Dana Jacobson. Because what you won't be able to hear or see on this clip is after Dana, in doing her job and doing it respectfully to Bill Belichick, Belichick basically refusing to answer and staring her down after she says, good luck today.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
And after she says, thank you, Coach, he stares her in the eye as though she had just made the worst mistake of her life and that it was somehow trying to death stare her into submission, which let's just call it as it is. He's a petulant child. And for the greatness that is Bill Belichick coaching wise on Sundays, he is an emotional child. And he has proven this time and time and time and time again. Because what is wrong about asking that question there? If you are to say, oh, well, you know he's not going to answer it, that's not the responsibility of the reporter, okay? Because if Dana Jacobson does not ask that question, people go, how could you not ask about Antonio Brown? It's a softball interview. See? It's a softball. Kid gloves. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Dana's job is to ask a question. She has a producer in her ear. She has a truck with 1,000 different hands trying to put this television on the box in front of you. She's got network heads. She's got corporate producers. She's got everybody. And she's got Bill Belichick days after they released Antonio Brown, the biggest story in football. If she doesn't ask about Antonio Brown there, she hears it from her bosses. And she is looked at in a lesser light by the people that employ her. Because they need to know, if they have a tough question to be asked, that she can do it. And that's how you get assignments. That's how you get promoted in that job. If she does not take that opportunity to ask Antonio Brown that question, it fails her job. Okay, now Bill doesn't have to answer the question. We kind of know that Bill's not going to have an answer, but there is absolutely no excuse for a death stare there, as though she had crossed the Rubicon. How dare you? And this is all I'll say about that. Bill can be a petulant child because Bill gets to win a lot. And when you win a lot, you don't get tough questions. You don't have to answer tough questions from your bosses. You don't have to answer tough questions from the media. You don't have to answer tough questions from the fans. You don't have to answer tough questions from your locker room because you win. He is a sublime X's and O's coach, which has protected him from ever having to answer difficult questions. So when he does, when he's asked them, he's a petulant child. And I respect a lot of the people that work within that organization. I've worked alongside a lot of them when I worked in Boston. But they also allow this to happen. Because if you cross the Patriots, then you get shunned. Belichick has that part of him to be vindictive and petty and a bully. So you want to cross him? Okay, cross him at your own risk. You want to ask Bill a tough question? We'll see if you ever get a story. We'll see if you ever get a sit down. We'll see if we ever help you do your job. They have allowed this to become this thing because they win so much, which is another problem with the winning. The problem with the winning is it has insulated those people from dealing with real life situations. And Antonio Brown was hired with baggage and fired because of baggage. And now they want to act like we don't have to talk about why. Why should we have to answer any questions about it? Well, you were the ones that decided to take on Antonio Brown. You decided to do this. And now you're above having to explain why you did it. And this is what they get to do because they win. They get to do it because they live in a bubble of winning, which is, again, a problem with the Patriots' success. It has created a fortress of secrecy and bullying and intimidation and vindictiveness and all types of bad behavior. And that's what's happened. And that's also part of the reason that I hope that it ends. And I hope it ends in a glorious, fiery mess. I hope that we can all watch it end because the winning has created really bad behavior. Look, Bill is... He's paid to coach a football team. But when he storms out of the press conference last week because he refuses to answer questions about Antonio Brown, it is hysterically, hysterically ironic. Here is a man that teaches his guys accountability. Quote, do your job. In Patriots land, it's do your job. Guess what part of the job is? Weekly press conferences. That is in your contract. Coaches can't not do press conferences. They can't not do press availabilities. You're forced to. You have to. That is part of the job requirement to be an NFL head coach. Every NFL head coach signs an NFL commission contract that requires press availability. So when he storms out, that's actually his job. Do your job. But no, because you win so much and because the ownership feels a certain way and because the fortress has been built, you get to do bad things and be above reproach and think that you make the rules. And this is what has happened. So one day, the bad behavior will end because they will have a comeuppance. They will have a humility. They will be shown that they're not impervious. And one day it will all crumble in a terrible, fiery, flaming mess. And we will all laugh as we walk by the crumbling kingdom. Because as you see, they are not actually really decent human beings. They are just soldiers of fortune, robots without much soul or heart or integrity. Because here is Dana Jacobson doing her job. Quote, do your job. That is her job. And you want to intimidate her as though she had somehow done the worst thing ever. Bill Belichick is a pathetic, petulant child, but he can coach football. And this is not about Dana being a victim here, because I'm sure she couldn't care less. She's one of the best we have in the business. And she's done it a million years, and she'll do it a million more. This is about Bill being pretty pathetic in that moment. When we come back, speaking of Antonio Brown, will he ever get another NFL job again?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.